Today is May 23rd, 2026. Welcome to the OA Working with Other Sponsorship meetings. Now, Bonnie B will share up to 20 minutes. Bonnie, you're on.
Hey, thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say on the front end, I am so impressed by the team. Wow, as I watched you guys work this thing. Wow, amazing. Just beautiful, beautiful. Bonnie B, I am currently living in the state of Minnesota, but I'm a resident of Florida. I bounce back and forth. I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me to speak on this topic. It's one that is very near and dear to my heart, and you'll hear why in a little bit. Before we begin, I'd just like to open with a short prayer and just invite God in. God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every person that's present. I thank you for this program. I thank you for the solution that you've given us. I ask that you would help me to set aside everything I think I know as I share tonight so that all of us can hear you with regards to sponsoring. Amen. So when I came in the program and I got recovered for the first time, I didn't sponsor. So this is part of my story. I didn't want to sponsor. I was terrified of sponsoring. And this is what I've come to understand is sponsoring is not an option if I want to stay recovered. And, you know, my story was one where I convinced myself that if I called people and if I just reached out and if I went to enough meetings that I would be able to keep my program. But, you know, it's steps 1 through 12. And so very quickly I figured out, because I did go back into the food, that I can't work 1 through 11. I have to actually work 1 through 12. That's the way it's designed. And step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening, I carry this message. Okay. Page 89 says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much as ensure immunity as intensively working with another fellow. That intensively working with someone means taking them through the steps. And then page 97 says, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. You know, what held me back from sponsoring? And maybe this isn't, maybe this doesn't apply to anyone that's here, but it applied to me. And it was so heavy on my heart that I wanted to share it. What held me back from sponsoring? There were two things. The first thing was selfishness and self-centeredness. And it was really, the root of that was fear. I was terrified that I wasn't going to be able to sponsor the way that I thought I should sponsor. I was terrified that I couldn't sponsor the way other people sponsored, that I didn't have all the right like tools, that I wouldn't show up right, that people wouldn't get recovered and their recovery would be on me. That was all me. That was all fear of man. And so I spent 2 years bouncing in and out of this program because I did not want to sponsor. I was terrified of sponsoring, but it's not optional. And what I came to understand is that I made much to do about nothing. That's what it was. I focused on things that the big book doesn't say to focus on. I had people talk to me for, well, I mean, there was so much chatter about what's your food plan look like and what's in your food plan and are you abstinent and are you not? And all of this stuff that sidetracked me. The big book never, ever addresses food. It never addresses a food. It talks about food in a backdoor kind of way in the first half of step one, when it talks about entire abstinence. And entire abstinence is refraining from compulsive eating and or behaviors. So it took food off the table. When I felt like God dropped into my heart, why are you spending so much time on this? It's not in the big book, and it's really none of your doing. I took it off my docket. When I sponsor people, I have one requirement, and that is that they have a nutritionist. Because I'm not a nutritionist, and I have no idea what someone's supposed to be eating or not eating, much less volumes and when. And so if they have a nutritionist, I'm willing to work with them. When they say to me, what is my abstinent food? And I used to have so much chatter in my head about, am I going to tell them what's right and what's wrong? I don't address that. I say, I don't know what your abstinent food is. But I know that you know, Because if you invite your higher power into the room and sit down at a table and have a piece of paper and pencil, and you ask God to show you everything you've ever binged on, you'll come flooding out. Those are my drugs. If you ask God to show you everything you've ever negotiated over, yep, those are the ones that people call yellow light foods. Those kept me in relapse for 2 years because I was told yellow light foods are okay. But here's the thing, if I'm negotiating over a food, it's not neutral. And again, I'm not going to call it out for someone else. That's not my job, because the only job I have as a sponsor now is to take their hand and to put it into the hand of their higher power. My heart's desire when I sponsor someone is to help them to connect to their God, whatever that looks like. Because when I weave out, and I will, when I'm done sponsoring, you're always free to call me, but I go out and I help others that are still sick and suffering. If you're not connected to God and you don't have that voice on the inside of you because you have learned how to hear that, you'll probably go back into the disease again. I focused really, really hard when I first came in on trying to give people all the right things to do. And I don't know what the right things to do are. I don't know if someone comes in as a moderate eater, a heavy eater, or a true compulsive overeater. I don't know where they're at. But I do know that if you have my DNA, you'll end up where I'm at in the end, and you'll figure it out. I want people to learn to quiet the noise on the outside. I'm so grateful for meetings. I'm so grateful for all the friends I have in sponsor, you know, all the friends in program. But ultimately, I need to have one voice, and that voice has to go off on the inside of me when it comes to foods, decisions, behaviors. Do I owe an amends? Do I owe do I need to pull this back? Something on the inside of me needs to go off. If it's something on the outside, it falls into the category of behavior modification and making an idol out of someone or something, whether it be a meeting, a person, their food plan, what they do. And my experience is it didn't work for me. It didn't work. To this day, it doesn't work for me. I can't look left and I can't look right. I refuse to ask someone else what they're doing or not doing, because ultimately it doesn't matter what they're doing. In the end, I have to be asking God to show up. If I look at, when you look at the word heart, the three letters on the inside is ear. If you take the T off, it's here. Throughout the entire big book, it says the primary purpose is to get another person to find their higher power. That consciousness, that voice on the inside, it can't be outside voices. When I started to reduce this program down to what it is and take away what it's not, it became very easy for me to sponsor. I love sponsoring. I used to think I was everyone's savior. I used to think that if they didn't get recovered, it was on me. This is my reality. I'm not responsible to get anyone recovered. I'm responsible to show up recovered. I'm responsible to share my experience, strength, and hope in honesty with people. I'm responsible to role model what it looks like to live recovered, but nothing beyond that. When I came into program, I have had many sponsors in this program. I have gone around the mountain many times because I wanted to negotiate many things with many people. When I finally figured out that it was really that inside voice that I needed to hear, and then was willing to yield to that inside voice, then life became really, really good. I had to accept and surrender. This is where I'm at as a person. This is where I'm at in my disease. And allow everyone else the process that they need to get to that point. To be helpful, page 89, to be helpful is my only aim. It's my only aim as I sponsor people. So again, less is more for me. I have a big book. I sort of have my script. I mean, I've done it enough times, right? I weave them through. I'm very honest on the front end when I talk with people about sponsoring. I will tell them, 6 weeks is how fast I do it. And if they're not working the steps, then I'm not working the steps. And so I'm probably not the best sponsor, because step 12 says if I am not giving it away, I can't keep it. So my requirements for sponsoring aren't a lot. I think a lot of people find it liberating, and then maybe also a little confusing, that I won't micromanage their food. I tell them if you have a nutritionist and you have a higher power, you got everything you need. If you want to toss your food to someone else on a daily basis, great, do it. But I'm not the food police. I don't want to see what anyone else is eating, because, you know, I had one sponsee who wanted to toss her food my direction, and I take three people's food. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'll just give them a heart, right? If it makes them feel good, that's great. But I had one gal who, what she was consuming on a daily basis was was artificial sweeteners, and I can't touch them. Okay. And so day after day, it would pop up. And I just felt like, it's not my best interest. That is not something I can have, and I shouldn't be seeing it. So a healthy boundary was to reach out to her and say, you're going to have to send your food someplace else, because it can't come to me. I can't take that on me. I think the whole, the sponsoring thing, my idea of sponsoring now is to have all roads lead back to, what is God telling you? What is God directing you? We know the big book tells us on page 87 to 89 that we have to connect to a power. Because if I had the power to do this thing, if I could have done this on my own, I wouldn't be talking with you guys. So I have to connect to a power. I give the word picture of a lamp. And many people on program, they focus on a lot of the tools. And I love the tools. I do all the tools. I call multiple people a day. I have two sponsees. I weigh and measure all my food. I can't imagine not weighing and measuring my food, because I don't have a built-in weigher. That's just who I am. But the big book doesn't talk about those things, right? It doesn't talk about those things. So I will say these are really good things that most of us utilize, but they're not found in the big book. I try to keep the big book, and the other stuff. Allowing them to figure it out. Some people think they don't have to do those things. And I will share, if you go to page 77, it says our primary purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and other people. The fitting myself is where the tools come in. The tools help me to fit myself. I don't have a built-in weigher. I don't know what 3 ounces is. We have 6 children. I have a husband. I've watched them put food on their plate. It's about 3 ounces, not me, volume. So those are things that God has given me. Those are tools, but I am very, for me, I'm very well aware of the fact that the tools never got me or kept me recovered. And so I don't want others to think if you check off all these boxes, you're good to go, because the big book is really clear on the primary purpose is to connect to God. You have to connect to your higher power. There is no other defense for us that have this DNA. What does that look like? Whatever you decide it looks like, but the big book gives us like really clear cut instructions, page 87 to 89, upon arising. We connect. How? Like, what does that look like? I don't know for you. I don't think God cares so much which book you use or how you connect. I think the deal is you have to connect. I will give the example of a lamp. When I came into program, I was in a very dark place. By the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, I have been living I'm at a healthy body weight. I've been there for 6+ years within 3 pounds, and I'm emotionally sober. Okay. I never had an eating issue. I had an emotional sobriety issue. I just didn't know that it was an emotional sobriety issue. I talked to people about a lamp. I said, when I came into program, I was in a dark spot, and it would be like walking into a room where I can see the silhouette of a lamp, And immediately I have hope. And that's what I felt like the first time I came into these rooms. I thought, oh my goodness, this is what it is. I had a sense of hope. And then I walked over to that lamp and I knew it was a source of light. And instinctively, my hand went to that knob on that lamp and tried to turn the lamp on, and it didn't go on. That was my first attempt at this program. It was me managing all of it. And then I tried the next thing, which was to screw the bulb in. Didn't work. Then I tried to flip the switch on the wall. Didn't work. All these different things I did trying to get that lamp to light up. When I walked out into the hallway, figuratively speaking, and asked someone who was living recovered in this program, what did you do to get the lamp to go on? They said, is it plugged in? This is the deal. If I don't plug in, and if I don't teach my sponsees that you have to plug in, and plugging in doesn't mean check the boxes. That's just me micromanaging another list. Plugging in means me connecting at that deep level so I can learn to hear the voice of my creator. And again, my voice, I mean, the voice, what he speaks to me might not be what he says to someone else. And being okay with that, because this is the relationship between my creator and me. And, you know, I've had many opportunities as I've gone through this program to listen to God or to say, no, thank you. Right? I mean, I think that's the chapter we agnostics. No, thank you. I choose not. Right? But that still small voice is still there. And then another trip around the mountain and how kind God is. The thing that I want more than anything else, you know, as I sponsor people, is I want them to know that they are in the right spot. If they have my DNA, there is no other house, right? And we get to figure this out by the first four chapters in the big book. That's what the first four chapters are all about. That's the entire purpose of those first four chapters, is to get me to lean in and fully concede, this is my DNA. As much as I wish it wasn't, it is. Page 427 says, if you're an apple, you can be the best apple you can be, but you can never be an orange. They need to fully concede this is their DNA before they would ever be able to move on to step two, which is, my life is unmanageable, and man, I need something different than I've ever had. So I and Lisa and I talked about this on the front end. More than anything else, I want them to know how much I care. And I want them to know that I love them with no strings attached. Most often I will take them to page 35, 36, Jim's story, where it talks about, you know, all went well for a season, and then he failed to enlarge his spiritual, you know, parameters. And that just means he stopped connecting with God and he stopped being of service to others. That's all that means. It became me again. And then it says he picked up half a dozen times in a row. And there were people that were lovingly said to him, what happened? Tell us what happened. And then the top of the next page, he picked up yet again. And they sat him down and they said, what happened? This is what I do in this program. I say, what happened? What happened? I have two sponsees at a time. A previous sponsee reached out to me and she said, I went back into the food. I said, what happened? I said, were you living in 10, 11, 12? She wasn't. She wasn't doing attempts and she wasn't sponsoring. What happened? Okay, run back through it again. Let's do it again. We love them well. If this is their DNA, like it's my DNA, there's no other option. And if people hadn't loved me well, I would have left these rooms thinking, I don't fit here either. So the most important thing for me as a sponsor is to keep it simple, to connect them to a nutritionist who can help them, and to encourage them to connect to their God, love them well. And the only thing, in my opinion, that's necessary to sponsor is I'm living recovered. I have a copy of this blue book. I'm willing to share my experience, strength, and hope with someone else who's sick and suffering. And then I model for them what it looks like to run back to their God, to run back. Because there's no other place to run back to. And this is what I'll close with. I did not get the blue ribbon when I came into these rooms. I came in 2010. I didn't get the red ribbon. I got 100 participation awards. I just kept coming back. I kept asking God, show me, what am I missing? And little by little, the light bulbs went on. And so sponsoring for me, you know, is about loving people where they're at, not micromanaging their program, but drawing them to the right sources. It's a nutritionist, and then I think it's their higher power, and then I just guide them. And so I think I'll pass with that, and thank you again for allowing me to share.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie B. I'm going to stop the recording now.